You some background as we get into our lesson this morning. Jesus is, well, the closest thing he ever came to a tirade would be what he was doing right here. He had launched a verbal assault on the scribes and Pharisees for their hypocrisy. They were an offense to God, and they were an offense to God's people because of the lives that they were living and the lies that they were living. And so in verse 23, we'll read 23 through 25 as a background. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, these are simple herbs in the garden, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These ought you to have done, and without leaving the others undone. Blind guides who strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. And then he referred to them as whitewashed tombs. The King James uses the word sepulchers. One little boy didn't know how to say it, and he said he called them whitewashed sea puckers. Didn't know how to say sepulcher. But tomb is a good word. It's a word we can understand, a grave. They appear outwardly beautiful, but inside they're full of dead men's bones and all manner of uncleanness. And you appear outwardly righteous, but inside you're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Getting up early can be tough. The eyes are blurry. The brain is foggy. The balance is off. Can I just have 15 more minutes? Just to sleep a little bit, but you get up and you get dressed. And don't you hate it when you put your shirt on inside out? And don't you hate it even more if you don't find out about it till you get to work? That's awful. You're putting together a jigsaw puzzle. You pick up two pieces, they don't go together. They don't match. And they can't go together correctly, but if you force it, you not only ruin the pieces, you ruin the puzzle. Fresh fruit, that's the best. I love oranges. That's my favorite. And so, you know, I've got a beautiful one. It looks beautiful. And I got that thing and I tear it open and, it's rotten. It's bad. It smells worse than something dead. I love oranges, but I hate rotten ones. You can't always judge by the outside. We say you can't judge a book by its cover. It may have an old, moldy, rotten cover, but inside may be a classic. And it may have the sweetest, slickest, nicest cover, and inside it's full of garbage. Just have to watch it. How do all these things apply to your Christian life and your Christian walk? Well, in our text this morning, Jesus had something to say about what's on the inside and what's on the outside as he's talking to these Pharisees. And the first illustration he used was the cup and the dish. Cleaning the inside was just ignored. Make sure the outside is clean. Make sure the outside looks good so everybody's happy. Can you imagine cleaning a casserole dish after we eat it back here after a while? Can you imagine taking it in there, washing the outside, but you just leave the inside alone. You put it back in your cabinet and you don't get it down till next month. What's that going to be like? Wow. The outside is important, but the inside is also important. And that's what Jesus is saying. On the outside, you may look clean, but a little glimpse inside reveals the true nature of these men. They were filthy in their hearts. And obviously, Jesus is talking about the true nature and the value of a person when he was talking to them. To be truly clean, my heart has to be washed free from wickedness, selfishness, and so forth. It has to be. In Jeremiah 4, verse 14, in this context, Jeremiah is warning God's people of a coming judgment from God. O Jerusalem, wash your heart from wickedness, that you may be saved. How long shall your evil thoughts lodge within you? Wash your hearts from wickedness, that you may be saved. It's all about the heart, brothers, sisters. It's all about the heart. The next illustration Jesus makes is the whitewashed tombs. In verses 27 and 28 of Matthew 23, tombs can be built and maintained to look really nice on the outside. Down in New Orleans, they have the water level is so high, the water in the ground, that you can't bury a body in a typical fashion because literally the even a concrete vault will still work its way back to the surface. The water table is so high. So they have these above ground concrete vaults that they have made to bury people in. And some of these things are just absolutely stunning, breathtaking in their ornamentation. They just look so nice. And they have these big, tall marker stones or monuments that are elevated above them. And they will use these to bury numerous family members. It's not just for one family member. The inside, it gets so hot inside that thing as it's exposed to that New Orleans sun. It gets so hot in there that literally it will cremate that body in just a short amount of time. In just a short amount of years, that body will go back to dust. No joke. And then they simply have, in the back of those things, they have a reservoir, an area that they have sealed off in the back beyond the slab that the body's laid on, and when the next family member to be buried, they will simply go in and push any debris that's left into the back, into that reservoir, and they'll have a spot to put the next body. Isn't that gross? Isn't that something you really want to talk about before lunch? But that's something, that's these tombs. And so in Jerusalem, they had these tombs for the wealthy people and all, and so they would really decorate the exterior, but inside it's still a place for rotting, decaying corpses. That's what it's for. And Jesus said, you guys are like these tombs. That's just not a very nice thing to say, is it? Well, Jesus could have talked all day without saying that, but they needed to hear that. Because they weren't the same on the outside as they were on the inside. And that really is at the heart of what being a Christian is all about. You're supposed to, you know, somebody says, why, when you see him, he's the same person every time you see him, no matter where it is, no matter who he's with, no matter what he's doing, he's the same guy every time you see him. And you say that as a form of respect and admiration for this guy's consistent behavior. This is who he is. He's that way all the time. Great, that's a compliment. But if you're one way here and a different way there, that's not very complimentary. And that's really at the heart of what Jesus is talking about. I would like for you to consider Isaiah chapter 1, verses 10 through 15, as we think about the effect of the condition these guys were in. Think of the plates and the cups. Clean outside, dirty inside. Think of the tombs, whitewashed and clean and beautifully decorated on the outside, but inside full of dead men's bones and corruption. And so listen as Isaiah speaks to Judah about her condition, and I want you to think about the condition of these Pharisees and scribes that Jesus was talking about. Hear the word of the Lord. Isaiah 1, verses 10 through 15. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. Now he's talking to Judah. He's talking to Judah. And he calls them Sodom and Gomorrah. If we are ever referred to as Sodom and Gomorrah, and it's true, we are really bad shape, aren't we? We're in really bad shape. And God says to Judah, Listen up, Sodom and Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me? You know, there were hundreds, perhaps even thousands of animals killed every day in worship to God under the Jewish law. And at times there would be hundreds of thousands of animals killed. At Passover, oh my, hundreds of thousands of animals killed. Blood everywhere. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand to trample my courts? Bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, and the calling of assemblies. I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meeting. Now when God says, I do not like your worship, you better be paying attention. You better be paying attention. When God says, I do not like nor appreciate your sacrifices, your offerings, your prayers, your worship to me, it is an offense to me. Whoa. That should get your attention. He calls them Sodom and Gomorrah. Now he says, I hate your worship. That should get your attention. And then he says, your new moons, your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They are trouble to me. I am weary of bearing them, enduring them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Meaning, they are guilty. They have not served the Lord. They have not been walking in the ways of God. They've not been obeying the commandments or keeping the statutes or the ordinances of God. They have not been obeying God's law. But they still go through the motions. The outside looks great. But the inside is messed up. And they're not, that's not acceptable. God's not accepting it. I can't tell what's in your heart. And you can't tell what's in mine. But God can. And I can fool you and you can fool me. But you and I will never fool God. We do not have that ability. Now we may be really good at it. But we're not that good. We will never fool God. So that's their condition. And Jesus just nails them to the wall, as the old boy said. Just nailed them to the wall. You scribes, you Pharisees, you are hypocrites. Hypocrites. Somebody says, I'm not going to church over there. That's just a bunch of hypocrites. Okay, well then, okay, I understand. I understand. So you're hiding behind a hypocrite, which means you've got to be smaller than the hypocrite. Yeah. See, some people say, well, this church is full of... Okay, so what if the church is full of hypocrites? If God still said, go, you should go. Because you're going to live with them here or you're going to live with them there? I'd rather live with them here, wouldn't you? I'd rather endure them here than have to endure them for eternity. Because they ain't going, and if you don't live right, neither are you. It's just as simple as I know how to make it. God has made it abundantly clear. The inside must be clean as well as the outside. It's no good if the inside is one way and the outside is another. That's no good. It doesn't work. So how do we go about cleaning the inside? How do we do it? All right. Well, Isaiah 1, we're going back to Isaiah 1. He says something in verses 16 and 17. He gives them what they can do to stop being Sodom and Gomorrah. He gives them what they can do to stop having their hands full of blood. He tells them what they need to do. I think we ought to listen to him. I think we ought to listen. He says, wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Put them away. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. God is telling Israel or Judah what they can do to be right with Him. Put away evil. Learn to do good. Here's some things you can do that's good. You know? Now, sin is the dirt and the filth that we sometimes try to conceal from others and from God, and instead of confessing our wrong and repenting of it and asking God to forgive us, we sometimes try to hide it by washing our face and putting on pretty clothes and dressing up nice and coming to church and hanging out with God's people. And maybe all that dirty stuff and bad stuff that I did, it'd be all right. Because I went to church. I go to church. I read my Bible. I say my prayers. And your hands are full of blood. You're just not living right. You're making choices that are ungodly. You're doing things that you know are wrong. Continuing to live the way you choose instead of the way God directs. And the inside and the outside don't match. That's the problem that they're having. Okay? That's what's going on. Now, we need to recognize that we, just like they, have some changes that need to be made. And when we recognize the changes need to be made, then we need to make the changes. Make the changes. That means give up, take up, shut up, and speak up. What? What does all that mean? Well, give up. Let go of the sin you love. The sin that's killing you. The sin that's sending you to hell. Let go of that sin. Get it away from you. Kick it out of your life. And take up. That means accept God's new role for you. His new work for you. That's accountability and responsibility. You're going to do good works and you're going to refrain from evil works. You're going to live the way God wants you to live. Be the person God wants you to be instead of being the person you want to be. And then shut up. Stop talking to others in sinful ways. Stop talking about others in sinful ways. Treat people right. We're talking about the golden rule. You treat others the way you want to be treated. You don't treat them the way they treat you. Why? He said something bad about me, so I'm going to get him. Then you're going to burn in hell with him too. Is that what you want? Can you not see past the short-term, personal, limited satisfaction you'll get from giving him a piece of your mind? Trust me, you don't have enough to spare. You can't afford to give somebody a piece of your mind. I'm not saying you're dumb. I'm just saying you may not be as smart as you think you are. If you think that it's okay to get even with somebody, you don't get even. You never get even. You certainly don't get ahead, but you do not get even. All you do is lose ground. You lose ground. You lose ground. No, there's times when we need to just shut up. There's times when we just need to stop talking. Because we've said too much. We've said something in a wrong way. We've said something hurtful that wasn't right to say. We've done something. We've treated someone in a way that was improper, incorrect, wrong. There's a time we need to shut up. And then there's a time we need to speak up. We need to share with people the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to share with people what God has done for us and what He can do for them if they will come to Him on His terms. We need to speak up. Stand up for what's right. Oppose that which is evil. Proclaim God's word. Proclaim the word of God to a lost and dying world. Not only do you want to try to help yourself get to heaven, you want to try to help others to get to heaven too. And so it's time to speak up and to shut up and to take up and to give up. It's time to do that. That's how you cleanse the inside. We're talking about repentance. That's all that's about. That I've just described different levels or different areas of repentance. But that's what it's about. Ezekiel told the people to turn from their sin and flee from those things that caused them to sin. Listen to Ezekiel 14, verses 6 through 8. Ezekiel 14, 6 through 8. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, repent, turn away from your idols, and turn your faces away from all your abominations. For anyone of the house of Israel, or of the strangers who dwell in Israel, who separates himself from me and sets up his idols in his heart, and puts before him what causes him to stumble into iniquity, then he comes to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me. I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. I will set my face against that man and make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. You come to God and you bring your sin with you, clutched under each arm, and you're not willing to let it go, and I'm going to come to church and I'm going to offer my sacrifices, I'm going to offer my worship to God, but I'm going to hang on to my sin. God says, I will make you a sign and a proverb. You will not like what I'm going to do to you. I'm going to let you suffer in ways you can't imagine. And then you will know that I am the Lord. Ezekiel is saying you need to repent and turn away from your sin, whatever it is. Whatever is causing you to stumble into iniquity, you need to give it up. Joel said, turn your heart to God so that you can be clean inside and out. Joel 2, verse 12 and 13. Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and with mourning. So rend your heart and not your garments. You know, what was the Jewish custom when they got bad news? Man, they'd grab their coats and just tear them open. Just tear them open. They'd rend their garment as though that was a sign of their mourning, of their grief, of their sadness at this terrible news. They'd just rip it open. God says, rend your heart, not your garment. It's easy to sew the garment back up, ain't it? I wonder if maybe they just had them a little slat stitch right there so they could just rip that thing open when they needed to. God says, rip your heart, not your garment. Turn back to me before it's too late. He says, rend your hearts, not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. He will return from his intention to punish, to chastise, to condemn. God will stop it if you will come back to him. But if you will not, you will endure the wrath of God. Do you know what the consequences of a mismatched life are? Picture those two pieces of puzzle that just don't fit together. Picture that casserole dish. Inside is full of 1 month old chili. Outside is clean and pretty. Yeah. Picture that tomb. On the outside, there's a little angel. There's carvings and nice symbols and designs and very elegant. And on the inside, rotten, decaying flesh. And if your heart is different on the inside than it is on the outside, if you and I put on the appearance of righteousness and piety, of sanctified living, of upright people, of church folk, religious people. If we put on that front on the outside, but in our heart it's different, if we're not sincere, if we're not serious about this, God is going to reject us. It will be just like those folks in Matthew 23. We will have sin in our life that will separate us eternally from God. We will be hypocrites like they were. And if we were Christians only on the outside, why would anyone want to be like these people with this kind of result? Maybe they were never really converted. You know, maybe they didn't really believe. They just went through the act to satisfy somebody. Maybe that's the case. Or maybe that being a Christian is just too demanding to live right 24/7. Maybe that's what it is. It's just too hard. God expects too much. Maybe that's what it is. Or perhaps they just do not fear God. Maybe that's it. Maybe their fear of God is definitely lacking. Somebody once said, if you fear God, you will fear nothing else. I like that. I even put it in the bulletin. Read that article in the bulletin if you haven't. It'll help nail down some of these things we're saying this morning. The fear of the Lord is a determination not to incur the wrath of God. That's what the fear of the Lord is. It's not being afraid of spiders or tornadoes or even death. That's a different thing altogether. The fear of the Lord is a determination not to incur the wrath of God. Being afraid is typically a feeling, but the fear of the Lord is a motivation. It's a motivation. Do not be motivated by your fear of men or even by your desire for man's approval. That will cause you to act in a certain way because of that fear. But rather you don't let the fear of man stop you from serving the Lord and doing what's right. That is what is condemned. That's the fear that will cause you to be lost. But the fear of God will cause me to behave in accordance with God's commandments. The fear of God will cause me to obey God, even if it causes me trouble with my fellow man. I'm to be motivated by and guided by my fear of God. This determination on my part not to incur the wrath of God, but to please Him. So what about you? Are you a Christian from the inside out? I hope so. If not, it's time to make changes in your life before it's too late. Because one day it will be too late. And you may fool men, but you will never fool God. Galatians 6, verse 7. I want to close with Isaiah's admonition then at the end of that chapter in Isaiah 1, verses 18 through 20. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Do you fear God? Do you fear Him enough to obey Him? Do you respect and determine to do what God's will is? Are you clean on the inside as well as the outside? I mean, you're here, and I'm thankful to God you are here. That's the outside. That's what we can see. But what about what we can't see? That's where it really begins. Sin starts in the heart. Typically doesn't start on the outside. Starts in the heart. And righteousness must also start in the heart. So let's clean the inside up. If you're subject to the invitation, we invite you to come today. To dedicate your life to God and obey in the gospel. Believe Jesus is the Son of God? Well, good. Will you repent of your sins? Commit your life to His service? Good. Will you confess your faith in Him that you believe Jesus is the Son of God? Good. Will you be baptized in water for the forgiveness of sins? The water is not going to wash your sins. Water doesn't do it. It's the blood of Jesus that's going to wash your sins away. But that blood is not separated from the water. It's connected. And the Scriptures make that abundantly clear. It's abundantly clear. Ananias told Saul, arise, be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So let the blood of Jesus cleanse you today if you're not a Christian. Having obeyed the gospel, if you're not faithful to the Lord, if you've allowed sin to come back into your heart, if you rebelled against Him, if you've been hard-hearted, or if you've just not been truly committed to the Lord, we want to invite and encourage you to come back to Him today. Repent of your sin, confess to God your sin, and pray to God to forgive you. and he will forgive you.